Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Susan Weed here with you at Blog Talk Radio. Is Justine here? Okay. Well, I'm hoping that you have the call-in number. The listener dial-in number is 646-929-2463. So please take advantage of this opportunity to call in and to ask me, Susan Weed, any questions that you have about herbs or health, whether it's for yourself, your family, or perhaps your pets. All of them are things that we can talk about. So please do give me a call. That number again is 646-929-2463. You can also log on, but my daughter Justine usually takes care of the people who are logging on and asking questions over the computer. And she's not here right now for some reason. So I'm going to not give you that login address because I'm not sitting in front of the computer and I wouldn't be able to answer your questions if you did them by the computer. Well, what's going on right now? You know, if you want to ask a question, I'm not sure if you have the instructions for what buttons you push when you do that, but I'm hoping that you do. Because I don't have the instructions either. This is only our second week of doing it, and last week I did it with the able assistance of my daughter, Justine Smythe. And so I'm really a novice at this, and if you're new to it too, well then we're in this together, aren't we? There's so many green blessings around us. And, you know, one of my favorite ways of using herbs in my life is to drink nourishing herbal infusions. Nourishing herbal infusions are made with a large amount of dried herbs steeped for a long time. Herbal teas are wonderful, and I certainly have no objection to a cup of herbal tea, especially sitting with a friend and talking. Sometimes even by myself, at the end of a busy day, I like to have a cup of herbal tea. But when I really want nourishment, I turn to my nourishing herbal infusions because a cup of tea just isn't going to get me the nourishment that I need and want. You know, there was a meta-study done, a couple of years ago now, and a meta-study is a study of studies. In other words, the meta-study doesn't set out to study something specifically on its own. They instead say, what have other studies told us? And by looking at a large variety of other studies, they hope to actually get an even better view of what the results are rather than just from one study. So meta-studies are considered really one of the gold standards of scientific studies. Well, the meta-study that I'm talking about was actually done in Denmark, and it was done by a not-for-profit group in Denmark. And everyone who worked on this meta-study did so without pay. And you might ask, why on earth did they do it this way? And they said that they did it that way because they didn't want anyone to think or to say that they had any bias, that there was any way they wanted the study to come out. They didn't. What they wanted to do was they wanted to look at the dietary and especially the supplementation habits of people. And they wanted to see if taking nutritional supplements would be useful or help to reduce disease or increase longevity. And they collected a very large group of studies to look into, and just over half of the studies were actually done by the supplement industry. Again, they wanted to be quite free from bias or prejudice, and they thought that if they didn't include studies done by the supplement industry, then they would probably and rightfully be accused of somehow ignoring that evidence, and they certainly didn't want to. So what did the meta-study find? Well, they actually included data on about 8 million people, ranging from the age of 2 years old to well up in their 90s. And these 8 million people lived in North America and in Western Europe. And what they found was that people who took supplements on a regular basis had the same amount of acute disease as people who never took supplements. In other words, the incidence of colds and flus and that kind of thing was just as great in people who took supplements as in people who didn't take supplements. Well, you might say, what about chronic disease? What about those problems that happen, especially as we get older, things like dementia and arthritis and heart attacks and cancer? Well, there again, we found that the people who took supplements had no less chronic disease than people who didn't take supplements. In other words, there was no difference whatsoever between the people who were taking supplements and the people who weren't taking supplements in terms of their health. All right, you say, well, didn't the people who took supplements, didn't they live longer? Actually, just the opposite. The only difference that they could find was that people who took supplements, primarily due to the supplements, did not live as long as people who did not take supplements. Each and every supplement they found carried its own particular risks with it. Women who took vitamin A supplements were 47% more likely to break a hip. Smokers who took vitamin E supplements or beta-carotene supplements were 2 to 3 times more likely to develop lung cancer. People who took vitamin C in the form of ascorbic acid 300 milligrams a day or more, and of course I know many people who take 1,000 milligrams a day, increased their risk of adult onset diabetes by 50%. Oh my goodness, we're talking a very big increase in risk. Elders, people over 65 who took folic acid supplements, increased their risk of colon cancer. And so it goes. There is simply not any supplement of any kind that is as good as food for you. And nourishing herbal infusions are food. I haven't taken a pill of any kind in over 30 years. I feel incredibly healthy. I have lots and lots of energy and do lots of things. And I drink about a quart of nourishing herbal infusion on a daily basis. Stinging nettle is one of my favorite nourishing herbal infusions. I weigh out 1 ounce, that's about 30 grams, of dried stinging nettle, and put it into a quart or a liter glass jar. I then fill that jar right up to the top with boiling water, put a tight lid on it, and let it steep for at least 4 hours or overnight. In fact, usually I let my infusion steep overnight because that's the easiest thing for me. Once it's been steeped, and we don't have to add any more heat, we just pour the boiling water over the herb. And once it's been steeped for 4 hours or overnight, then we strain it, squeezing the nettle to get all of the good that there is in the nettle. And that liquid is then refrigerated. That refrigerated nettle is what we buy, is what we drink, sorry. And I, as I said, I like to drink about a quart a day of my stinging nettle infusion. Now, I don't just drink stinging nettle infusion. In fact, I rotate through several infusions. So I might drink stinging nettle infusion on one day. And I think of stinging nettle as the herb of energy, the herb that rebuilds the adrenals and that helps to stress-proof us. And then on another day, I might drink oat straw infusion. Oat straw is the herb that strengthens the nervous system and the cardiovascular system, and it really helps bring back lost libido. So oat straw is made just like the stinging nettle. 1 ounce of dried oat straw in a quart jar filled to the top with boiling water. And that oat straw infusion is allowed to sit for 4 hours or overnight, then strained, the liquid put in the refrigerator, and drunk freely throughout the day. Another one of my favorite infusions is linden blossom. I prefer to use the whole linden blossoms because I find that the cut linden blossoms are kind of, I don't know, slimy. And I don't like that slimy taste. But with the whole linden flowers, I don't get that sliminess. So that's my preference. I use only a half an ounce of linden flowers, put them in my quart jar. Fill it to the top of the boiling water, put a lid on it, and let it steep for 4 hours or overnight. And then I strain that, put that liquid in the refrigerator, and drink it over the next day or two. The nettle infusion and the oat straw infusion are very high in protein, and they don't last for a really long time. Frequently, once they've been in the refrigerator for more than 2 days, they will taste a little funny, and at that point, you have two choices. You can either use it to water your plants, or you can use it as hair rinse, and these are actually wonderful hair rinses. They make the hair shiny and glossy and very strong and help to deal with split ends as well as anything going on with your scalp, a real boon and a tonic for the scalp. In terms of watering plants, I consistently rot nettle from my garden. You know, when we pick nettle early in the spring to have for nettle soup, well, it's just thin little stalks in the tops and the leaves, so we don't bother to take the leaves off the stalks. But as the year goes on, if we want nettle for soup, we're going to have to take the leaves off the stalks because the stalks, after all, are used as a source of fiber, and they're just not good to eat. And what I do with those stalks is I throw them in large buckets and cover them with water. Put a tight lid on it and let it rot. You can tell when the nettle rot is ready because it stinks. It smells really rotten. I then take my nettle rot and I put 1 to 2 cups of my nettle rot into a gallon watering can. Dilute that and water my plants with it. Well, we had a wonderful thing happen last year with our nettle rot. We fed it to a Hoya plant. I didn't even know it was a Hoya. And it bloomed. And people were amazed. They say, oh, it is so difficult to get a Hoya to bloom. And I would have known that it would have brought the Hoya into bloom because several years before that, I had a really pretty rose bush, but it hardly ever had any roses. And I was asking about what could I do, and people suggested this, that, and the other thing. And finally, I asked the rose, and she said, well, why don't you share your nettle infusion with me? And that's actually a plant that I shared regular nettle infusion as well as the nettle rot. And sure enough, that plant, which before had only ever had 1 or 2 roses at a time, had over 20 roses on it all at one time. Just imagine if it can do that for the rose bush, what can stinging nettle do for you? Ooh, what an image. You might burst into bloom. I also drink comfrey leaf infusion and red clover infusion. Red clover is also made from the blossoms of the plant, and I use 1 ounce of red clover in a quart jar, dried red clover, fill the jar to the top of the boiling water, put a lid on it, let it steep for 4 hours or overnight, strain it, and drink it the next day. Now, red clover tastes a lot like black tea, and you know, I've just never developed much of a taste for black tea, so I put a pinch of mint in with my red clover when I brew it. My brother, who's a farmer in Oregon, grows beautiful mint, and he always sends me a big bag of it, and that's the mint I use, but any mint that you have, it's going to be better if it's dried, but you don't have any dried. You could put in a little sprig of fresh mint as well, but a little pinch of dried mint in with 1 ounce of red clover, wow, to me that really turns it into an exciting drink. Why would we want to drink red clover anyhow? Well, because red clover is the world's leading cancer preventative and cancer curative herb, and yet it's generally grown for pregnant and lactating cows, so it's about as safe as an herb can get. Speaking of safe, there are people who don't feel that comfrey leaf is safe. Well, what can I say? I've been drinking comfrey leaf infusion for over 30 years. I certainly suspect that if there was anything that comfrey leaf was going to do to me, it would have already done it. And people say that there are problematic alkaloids in comfrey root, and that's certainly true. That's why I use the leaf rather than the root. And people say, well, those alkaloids could be in the leaf. However, I use the leaf of Symphytum uplandica, which is a very tall comfrey, usually flowering at between 1 meter or even 2 meters tall, with flowers that tend to be purplish, bluish, although they can fade to pink, or they can fade even to a whitish color. And the bees just love these flowers. But we can tell that this is not a wild comfrey. And this is a hybridized comfrey because although the bees come to the flowers, the comfrey plant never sets seed. If you get your comfrey plant from somebody who gives you a piece of root, which is the perfect way to do it, then you definitely have a hybrid comfrey. And it was hybridized by Henry Doubleday Jr. in Bocking, Braintree, Essex, England, sometime in the mid-40s, early 40s, in an attempt to produce a bomb-proof food. He knew that if you blew up comfrey, all you were going to get was hundreds more comfrey plants. And so he figured that would work really well, but because of these problematic liver alkaloids, he needed to do a little fiddling with the plant, and he worked very hard to hybridize it to make sure that those alkaloids were not present. And as a matter of fact, he had over three generations of people eating comfrey as a cooked green. Not only have I been drinking a quart or two of comfrey leaf infusion every week for the past 30 years, but my sweetheart has been drinking probably double that. He just adores comfrey leaf infusion. And if there's any question as to what the next infusion is, he is always ready to jump up and say, let's have comfrey leaf. So whereas I've drunk a quart to two quarts, he's probably drunk anywhere from half a gallon to a gallon of comfrey leaf infusion every week for the past 25 years. Now, for reasons I won't go into, he just had a liver function test. And the doctors were amazed and thrilled at how strong and powerful his liver was. His liver function test was at the top of the heap. So once again, here we have some scientific backup. There's certainly nothing wrong with his liver. But if you're uncomfortable with comfrey, that's okay. I always say that comfrey heals the skin, the bones, the ligaments, the tendons, the muscles, and the mucous surfaces of the respiratory system, the digestive system, and the reproductive system. In addition, it has special proteins that are used in short-term memory. Other than that, comfrey does absolutely nothing. You may be laughing now and saying, well, I can certainly see why Susan has comfrey as one of her green allies. So there you have it. It's a fairly easy program that anybody can do of any age. We've given nourishing herbal infusions to premature infants. We've given nourishing herbal infusions to bedridden women over 100 years old. Everyone benefits, everyone thrives when they're drinking nourishing herbal infusions. If you're listening to this and you want to know more, well, you can certainly go to the Wise Woman Bookshop and look up my books. And all five of my books have information about making and using nourishing herbal infusions. In addition, when you're at the Wise Woman Bookshop, you might notice that I have an online course at the Wise Woman University called Drink Your Way to Health with Nourishing Herbal Infusions. I guess by now you figured out that Susan Weed is really, really into nourishing herbal infusions, and you figured right. Not only do I do it for myself, but I see that all of my students and all of my friends that have picked up the infusion habit are thriving, are feeling a lot of bliss in their lives, and unlike the supplement takers, have less acute disease and less chronic disease as well. So that's a little beginning talk on nourishing herbal infusions. I know that you'll want to know more, so please do buy one of my books or check out Drink Your Way to Health with Nourishing Herbal Infusions at the Wise Woman University, or you can go to YouTube, and at YouTube you can see me and my beautiful granddaughter, Monica Jean, making and talking about nourishing herbal infusions. Just pull up YouTube, Susan Weed, Herbal Infusions, and you can see me hard at work right there. Now, I'm wondering if anyone is on the line or if there's anyone who'd like to ask a question. I wonder if maybe Justine has joined us. Okay, well, I'm not exactly sure what to do then. So I think I'm going to say goodbye. Green blessings, everyone. I hope that you've enjoyed our time together. Until next week, I'll be right back here at Blog Talk Radio. This is Susan Weed, thanking you for helping us to reweave the healing cloak of the ancients and to remake herbal medicine as people's medicine.